City Council will come back to order from its recess. Today is still Wednesday, November 30th. It's 2 p.m. Hi, Carla.
Hello.
Good lunch?
Yes.
Great. Can you please call the roll?
Leonard. Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman. Adams.
Here. We are continuing our consideration of items number 1287 and 1288. Could you please read the title of both?
1287, accept report on recommendations regarding the Portland Police Bureau, and 1288, establish the authority for the Citizen Review Committee to make policy recommendations directly to the Portland Police Bureau, increase the length of term served by Citizen Review Committee members, and clarify procedures of the Citizen Review Committee in hearing appeals from community and bureau members.
All right, so we're just going to go right to the sign-up for those of you that I recognize as having been involved with the issues and organizations for a long time. I'm going to give you more time than the normal 3 minutes. Just to remind everyone, this is part of a three-week a period of time, open record on these issues. And so I'd ask council to continue to take it in and either provide feedback today at the end of the hearing, or we'll make the rounds to council, prepare any changes. I can't guarantee that all the changes might get out beforehand, before we might consider this on the 8th, which is next week, but that's definitely our goal. But we're going to be looking for good ideas all the way up through that hearing. Council at that time will have the choice to vote, or that's always council's prerogative in terms of voting that day, or because of changes that might be made in that day, to actually vote the following week. We'll see how things go. With that, unless there's any other housekeeping procedures, how many people have signed up?
12.
Great. So you'll be coming up in 4. As always, if you represent an organization, you're authorized to act as a lobbyist for business, organization, or anyone else, please include that as part of telling us who you are.
The first 4, please come on up, are Dan Handelman, Debbie Iona, Jim Kahan, and Sylvia Zingerson. And they'll be followed by Moses Rosen, Becky Strauss, Thomas R. Tilton, Ron Williams. Ron
Williams. These folks get 5 minutes. Would you? You can live with 3 each.
Let's see how far it goes.
Very good, Mr. Handelman. Please begin.
I would like 5 minutes, Your Honor.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch, and at the November 16 hearing, we outlined our broad concerns about the mayor and chief and auditor's 90 pages of documents on police accountability issues. And because of the limited time to review so much information, we're focusing only on the specifics of the ordinance and recommending that council propose a resolution to supplement these existing documents that you're considering. We strongly support the idea of delaying your vote past the December 8 proposed date to ensure that Commissioner Leonard, who oversaw the police oversight stakeholder group, can take part in this important discussion and vote. It's notable that he's not here today. We have prepared a standalone list of the 7 ordinances changes, and there were previously 6, being proposed to the Independent Police Review Division code, analyzing those changes and pointing out at least 11 other ordinance changes proposed just by the stakeholder report, plus 1 regarding the police review board. We have concerns about the auditor's proposed language. And while we generally support the administrative changes that she's proposing, we are opposed to the addition of the conference committee, and it is because it needlessly lengthens and delays the process originally designed in the ordinance, where city council should settle disagreements between the CRC and the bureau. No community member asked for this change to the ordinance, and council should not support it. The addition of a new subsection sending information back for more investigation is not really necessary because in the stakeholder report, Portland Cop Watch recommended a simpler fix by adding language to the existing subsection where you would say the CRC may send the case back for further investigation by IPR or IED and or send it back the case to reclassify allegations. and I would say, or add new allegations. The request for more evidence is part of the current process the CRC uses, where there's a, if they feel that the Bureau's findings are not supported by the evidence, they can either recommend other findings, or we believe send it back for investigation to reclassify allegations because the findings are not supported by the evidence, regardless of what the standard of review is. The change in the section about proposing new finding, also the way it's proposed, takes away the CRC's responsibility to report their own recommendations and gives it to the director. So if it's going to remain in the ordinance, it should be there should be a director for the CRC chair to have to sign off on any communication about the CRC's findings, just so that it's not in the language of the IPR staff. The universally supported change to allow CRC to make policy recommendations could be tightened up, but at the very least it should be added that CRC may make policy recommendations directly to the auditor and city council. The auditor has taken a step toward clarifying CRC's role at city council hearings, and the stakeholder group identified clearer language that should also be added. And we have a specific sentence we thought should be added to the council hearings that says the committee shall present its recommendations before council. We support this change to lengthen CRC members' terms. We also identified 11 other items related to the stakeholder report that should be added to the ordinance. The most illustrative is of the need to make more changes is the one that's listed as stakeholder 2F and 2G. It's a conundrum that the CRC can hear new evidence at their hearings but not compel testimony, while counsel can compel testimony but not hear new evidence. While we would prefer that CRC be given the power to compel, it would also be acceptable to delete the language specifying that counsel may only review what is already in the record. As we mentioned last time, the IPR director explicitly stated she disagrees with the city attorney's interpretation of city code that CRC can hear new evidence currently. The fact that the language is so ambiguous on its face is enough reason to make more changes than those proposed by the auditor. As you heard from many quarters last time, council should also change the CRC's standard of review. We sent you a document last April supporting changing the finding of the preponderance of the evidence. The city attorney has said there may be other less deferential standards that could be applied to CRC, and we're open to discussing those other ideas. But we do agree with the community members who think our citizen review board should be able to determine on their own whether an officer has violated policy. So I've listed out here some of those other points: ensuring IPR can review shootings and deaths in custody cases, give the auditor ability to hire outside counsel, prohibit mediation for serious use of force cases, increase the size of the CRC, provide CRC have sufficient staffing, and ensure that IPR reports on certain data, and a couple of others. I have the supporting document that's on the white paper, lists all these out in great detail. We're also urging you to create a separate resolution that will outline city policies, which it will include, we hope, fixing the contract with the police union that says that only officers can ask questions, and therefore IPR will be able to compel testimony if you change that section. There's also a section which actually says that IPR has no authority or responsibility relating to shootings and deaths cases, which we know that at this point they're actually in practice doing. And we hope that the union doesn't file a grievance over this, but unless that's changed, they will have the ability to do that. Mr. Mayor, can I just run down these other ones really quickly? So the other things that we think could be included in the resolution are directing the Bureau to return to the nationally recognized 4 dispositions for complaints, having directing the Bureau on IPR to add additional notations of communication and equipment to the list of concerns that now include policy, training, and supervisory issues. They put those in place while the stakeholder group was still discussing that idea. Direct the Bureau to refer to low-level concerns as non-disciplinary complaints, which is a much better term than service improvement opportunities. Direct the Bureau to open task forces to the public for observation, which the auditor supports. And find a way to create an interagency agreement so that documents can be made more easily available to the public. And finally, instruct IPR to conduct a survey of complainants about whether they prefer IPR or IA investigators and whether they prefer a full investigation or non-disciplinary complaints. Just a survey, not to affect the outcome.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am.
In 5 minutes also, thank you. I'm Debbie Iona, representing the League of Women Voters of Portland. This is the first real opportunity the public has had to advocate for much-needed improvements to our oversight system since its creation 10 years ago. The League believes more time is needed to carefully consider the numerous IPR and Police Bureau-related recommendations that are on the table. The process also would be improved by grouping the recommendations into more manageable subsets, for example, by considering IPR improvements and police bureau policies separately. Furthermore, Commissioner Leonard, who organized and presided over the stakeholder group, is unable to fully participate in the scheduled council sessions. The auditor's proposed changes to the IPR ordinance are a step forward in clarifying ambiguities, enshrining current practices, and adding improvements, increasing CRC members' terms, establishing CRC authority to make policy recommendations directly to the Bureau, and recommend further investigations in appeals are positive changes. Other needed improvements include: change the definition of supported by the evidence so that the reasonable person standard is replaced with a more suitable alternative. This issue was covered in detail at the last hearing and is CRC's top priority. The city attorney and CRC should work together to resolve this. CRC members are carefully selected, well-trained, and take their responsibilities seriously. They deserve sufficient staff support to carry out their duties. In the staff and delegation section, add a provision requiring IPR to provide the CRC with the staff needed to carry out its functions as defined by the ordinance. Appeal hearings benefit both the complainant and public. It is essential that the provisions governing their conduct are logical and clear. There are several items that merit your attention. In addition to giving CRC the authority to recommend further investigation, the ability to reclassify allegations also should be added. There have been times when allegations were not an accurate reflection of the case or the related police policies, and questions have arisen about whether or not CRC had the authority to recommend reclassification. In section 3.21.160, the proposed language states, when the CRC challenges one or more of the Bureau's recommended findings and recommends a different finding, the director shall formally advise the Bureau in writing of the committee recommendation. This should be revised to include that the CRC must approve the written notification to ensure its accuracy. The first IPR director instituted the conference committee without consulting the CRC or the public. Before adding this to the code, the need for this step in the process should be thoroughly discussed. When an appeal does go to City Council, CRC should take the lead in presenting its recommended findings since it is the body challenging them. Clarify the language by adding, the committee shall present its recommendations before council, as recommended by the stakeholder group. Finally, there are a number of other issues that do not belong in the code but should be addressed in a council resolution. Several examples include greater public involvement in development of police policies, a mechanism for a CRC public review of cases that have not been appealed but illustrate questionable police responses or policy issues, returning to the appropriate findings in misconduct cases, making police reports available to complainants, the identification of types of cases appropriate for independent IPR investigations, and changes to the collective bargaining agreements to accommodate true civilian oversight. Thank you very much.
May I ask a question?
Could you just tell me a little more about your concerns about the conference committee, what it is, and why what you think to be fleshed out with it?
So the conference committee happens, after the CRC hears an appeal, and it challenges, it says, we recommend different findings than the one that the Bureau has come up with. Then if the Bureau decides not to accept the CRC's recommendation, then at a subsequent CRC meeting, the Bureau comes back and they have what they call a conference committee, and it's kind of a second round in the same discussion. And then after that, if there still is no agreement, then it goes to City Council. Now, when as you know from seeing the existing ordinance, the way it's written before without the changes that might be made, the CRC is supposed to have its hearing, make the recommendations on the findings, and then if the Bureau doesn't agree, then it just goes to City Council. You know, the discussion has already taken place at that hearing. And so to have a second hearing to talk about the same thing all over again kind of just sort of slows things down. And in many of these cases, it's been years since the event actually occurred. You know, it takes a long time to investigate some of these things. And so that's why it just seems like an unnecessary step.
Thank you for saying.
Sir.
Okay, I'll probably take about 4 minutes. My name is James Kahn, and I am a resident of Portland and a policy analyst by profession. I've done policy analysis and research on public safety and was the director of research quality for 6 years at the European Office of the RAND Corporation. I currently serve on the advisory board of the Police Crisis Intervention Training Unit and on the steering committee of Safer PDX. And I was a member of the stakeholder group convened last year by Commissioner Leonard and a member of the subcommittee that actually drafted the recommendations that are presently under consideration. And my position on all of those recommendations is stated in the documentation of that group's work. Now, while the immediate topic of today's council session is the IPR and the CRC, the real larger topic is police accountability. Police accountability has two major components: external oversight and internal, where I'm going to go to quality assurance. The external oversight in Portland is well structured with your oversight, the IPR, the CRC, police audits by the city auditor, close oversight by elected officials, and engagement by committed community stakeholders, such as these two people on my left here. That doesn't say it functions well, but the structure is there. And the discussion about how to best implement and link those components of external oversight is highly productive. What is missing, however, is the internal piece, and that for me is quality assurance. QA is an objective, evidence-based, systemic, blame-free approach to continuous quality improvement of an organization, and is by definition internal. External oversight is thus not a substitute for QA, nor is the Internal Affairs Department QA. Its primary mission is determining blame of individual officers. If in the course of a CRC or IAD investigation, policy and procedural issues are brought to light, so much the better, but that's not their main purpose. QA is, in the context of a police force, a method for identifying systemic deficiencies in police policies and procedures, especially those deficiencies that could have or have had serious consequences for the citizens served by the police. The most important feature of QA is the collection and analysis of meaningful, valid, and comprehensive data that looks for any systemic deficiencies in policies and processes that are used to achieve the police objectives, especially in regard to interaction with citizens. To be meaningful, valid, and as complete as possible, these data must be collected in a blame-free atmosphere, where the goal is not to give demerits or worse to misbehaving police members, but to track system functioning. QA data comes not only from reports of negative events, but from near misses and successes as well, plus open self-reports of such events and anonymous reports by officers. Looking at the good and bad is essential to QA, not to calculate percentage of times when things went well, but instead to identify what caused things to actually go bad or come close to going bad. That involves a culture shift. It is not trivial, but I believe it is something that we need to embark on in this city. So in summary, I believe that QA, which is an objective, evidence-based, blame-free approach to continuous quality improvement, needs to be designed and implemented within the Portland Police Bureau in a timely but deliberate manner.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Ma'am.
I'm Sylvia Zingaser, and I represent NAMI, Multnomah National Alliance on Mental Illness. I have also been on the Crisis Intervention Training Advisory Board for a number of years now, and I was on the stakeholders group as well that Commissioner Leonard conducted. And I cannot tell you how important I feel it is to have a quality assurance program. I've worked under it for years as a medical technologist. I believe in it. I feel that it will help collect the data, make the measurements, and that we can take that data and we can use that data to help people with mental illnesses and possibly convince the public, if you will, that we need to fund this, and of course it has to be funded through taxation. So that's just one of the issues that I feel that is really important. We need that information, and we're not getting it.
Questions?
Yeah.
Dan, this is directed to you because I'm not sure we're going to have another chance to engage you today. So on the question of standard of review, I guess at the heart of that is probably a more fundamental question. And so let me put it to you. Do you believe the role of the CRC is to review and police the process or to review the evidence?
I think their role is to review the evidence. I think that the general people who file complaints think that's what they're getting when they have a hearing.
And what do you want us to review in the proposed, existing or proposed code language supports that position?
What do I think you should do? Well, several of the items that are listed in here, to make it so that, again, that they can...
Well, I understand what you want to do. I'm saying, to me, at the heart of what you're suggesting on the standard of review,
yes,
calls into question the role of the CRC, whether it is reviewing the process or reviewing the evidence. I mean, mm-hmm. I think shifting from reasonable person to preponderance of the evidence, what it effectively does is it changes the function and role of the CRC. And what I want to give you an opportunity to do is just tell us where in the authorizing language or in a subsequent proposal there is support for that view of its role.
Well, certainly the difference, and this is the part of that conundrum I described, the difference between the CRC's role at the hearing, the way it was written by whoever wrote the original ordinance, which wasn't us, and the difference between what the city council is allowed to listen to. Because the city council
hearing...
No, but Dan,
I appreciate that, and we don't have a lot of time.
I understand, but what you asked me to identify...
I understand that conundrum, because you've...
No, but what I'm trying to point out the question you're asking me. Okay. The question you're asking me is what in the existing city code says that CRC has more of a role than just reviewing the evidence that already exists. And the evidence is that in their section, it does not include the language that is included in the city council's section, which says... that the city council should only review the evidence that's in the record and no new evidence may be heard by city council. Whoever wrote that was saying city council is doing what you're saying, is reviewing the process. They're the appeals body that hears only what's already been done. Whoever wrote that said the CRC can hear anything. Anything that somebody wants to present to them, they can be presented at their hearing. So that is the evidence that was what was intended in the original document.
So... just so I understand, because I mean, we've spent some time talking about this outside of this forum, mm-hmm. and I want to give you a chance to make a record.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe the CRC has, in effect, then parallel discipline and parallel authority to review and determine discipline?
No. I think that's one of the things we're recommending that you add to the ordinance if they're going to compel testimony. But no, it has nothing to do with discipline.
Okay,
it's still a recommendation.
Okay, so I wanted to just make sure I understood that. You had previously talked about wanting dedicated staff, and as I read your testimony today, at page 5. It appears that you're proposing new language about just requiring providing adequate staff, not dedicated staff. Am I correct in that?
That through discussions that we've had since that time, I believe our organization would support that language going into the code.
And that's new to me since yesterday, so I just wanted to clarify that. On the question of outside counsel, so let me just express to you a concern that I have about outside counsel generally. At the city, we have an interest in having uniformity in the legal advice we get. And it becomes very complicated if we have different lawyers with different perspectives opining on what our duties and responsibilities are. So there is, in my judgment, a benefit of having a city attorney's office that gives us consistently good or bad advice, depending on how you – no offense, counsel. I'm just saying consistently gives us the advice, whether you agree or disagree with it. It's just at least – consistent in terms of its source. And so I want to better understand why you believe we need to have new language authorizing the auditor to use outside counsel and what circumstance you believe would trigger the need to have someone other than the city attorney's office provide legal advice?
Well, because we're talking about the only agency where your employees are putting their hands on or using weapons against citizens and could injure or kill them. That's why it's very different from any other agency in the city. And when the city Citizen Review Committee tried to hear a case about Mr. Jose Mejia Pote, who was beaten after he was taken off a bus by police in 2001 and 2 days later shot in a mental institution, the city attorney's office and the auditor's office and the IPR director at the time told them, over our dead bodies, you're not going to hear that case. Sorry. But the CRC said, look, the authority here says we can hear an appeal. Somebody filed the appeal. And they said, well, we're not going to give you any assistance to this. We feel that that was because the city attorney's office felt there was a conflict of interest between the city's interest in protecting itself from liability and Mr. Mejia Pote's death, and what the CRC's purpose is, which is to uncover the truth about whether the police committed a violation of their policies. That's a specific example as I can give you.
All right, so just on that, though, Dan, let's say that everybody in the city's attorney's office has a conflict of interest because they were all either witnesses or participants or something. Our current rules would allow us to get outside counsel under those circumstances. So why does it have to be, I mean, presumably if you don't have a lawyer that doesn't have a conflict, you'd have to find another lawyer. So what's the problem you're trying to correct with this language?
Well, I think the problem I just described, that it's highly unlikely that the city attorney's office, or it's possible, I suppose, that the city attorney's office would not approve outside counsel in that case, that it would say, you know, sorry, we're not going to give it to you because we really have to protect ourselves. So the auditors, the section about the auditor now says in consultation with the city attorney. If you change the city code right now and just struck out the part about in consultation with the city attorney, you could already improve her ability to get that counsel when she needs it.
So Dan, one last question. I appreciate the mayor's forbearance because I think it's useful to have this on the record. It's helpful to me.
Yeah.
On the question of the suggestion that you shared with me yesterday and you've raised again today about surveying people about whether they would prefer an IPR or an IA investigation. Isn't there a risk if we do that of, in a sense, raising expectations around something that is likely not to happen and therefore creating a false choice? And if so, doesn't that outweigh whatever speculative benefit you think there is of creating that survey? If it doesn't necessarily lead to a change in how your case is handled, I'm getting at, and you're dealing with members of the public, why offer that if it is, in effect, a false choice?
But the point is not to offer it. The point is to explain explicitly and clearly, this is not going to affect how your case is investigated.
But which would you
prefer handles it,
even though it has no effect? I mean,
Point is that I think you'll find, if you talk to most people in the community, that when they discover that their complaint is going to be turned over from what's called an independent police review agency to the police internal affairs to do the investigation of their case, most of them say, well, then I'm not going to bother filing my complaint. So if you just find out from the public, not just us, you heard it from us 100 times, if you find out from the public who actually engage in using the system what they would prefer, then maybe you can figure out how to redirect resources and make it so that there are more independent investigations.
So that part I understand, but I'm just sharing with you a concern that I have. If you say at a hearing, would you like Dan or Nick to decide your appeal? Okay, fine. Thank you for sharing that. But Dan's going to hear it. I just worry that we're creating, in effect, expectations, and perhaps there's a way to gather that evidence independent of this. So I want to make that note. Thank you, Mayor.
You bet. Good discussion. Any other discussion with this panel? Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Next four, please come on up, are Moses Rosen, Becky Strauss, Thomas R. Tilton, and Mark Kramer. And they will be followed by Mary Nichols, Jeremy Graber, and Roger David Hardesty.
Thank you for being here. We really appreciate it. Would you like to begin, sir?
I'm number 8, but I'll be number 5.
Or did you sit in row of order?
We always start with distinguished graduates of Northeastern Law School.
I will.
Anybody else a distinguished graduate of Northeastern Law School? Well, then you're it. It doesn't matter. You're all going to get a chance to speak.
Good afternoon, Mayor and members of the council. My name is Mark Kramer. I am a graduate of Northeastern Law School, a proud graduate, as Commissioner Fish is. I'm a member today, though, representing the National Lawyers Guild. I was a part of Mayor Katz's task force in 2000, and I was a member of the stakeholder group in 2010. In terms of historical perspective, I would ask you to recall, in light of Commissioner Fish's sort of framing the issue of what type of review body do we want, the majority opinion in the Mayor Katz work group in 2000 was an independent police review body, citizen-led, citizen-staffed, independent investigators with subpoena power and the power to recommend, not impose, discipline. So that was 2000. That was now 11 years ago. Mayor Katz discarded that report and instead delegated to the auditor to come up with a new system, and that's how we got IPR. So many of the groups that are here today that did the work in 2000 felt that that was a slap in the face from what we had done in terms of a public deliberative body in coming up with what we thought the citizens wanted. So that was 2000, and so we worked as best we could with what we believed to be a largely ineffective system, although one that was better than PIAC, which was before 2000. So then we come to 2010. We have some ordinance changes and the promise by the council, particularly Commissioner Fish, is we'll develop a stakeholder group and we'll address your more fundamental concerns. And we did that. And we came up with 40-plus recommendations, most of them unanimous, the rest of them by large majorities with few exceptions. And now here we are today, in which a tiny number of those recommendations are being acted upon, largely discarded like they were in 2000. And it leaves me, and I think I'm going to just say now, that unless the council is committed to demonstrating to the people of Portland we are looking for an independent review mechanism with the power to discipline that has the features of credibility, transparency, and effectiveness, I don't see any other choice but to ask the citizens of the city by independent initiative to do what the council seems to have been unable to do in the 2000 changes and the 2010 changes. Having said that, we are here today, and the Guild asks the council to delay a vote beyond next week so that further citizen comment can be solicited. It took me a while to get through the mayor's November 9th report, so it's not even 30 days that the citizens will have the opportunity to digest the mayor and the auditors and all the other recommendations, and Commissioner Leonard is not here. So we do support a delay in the vote. I don't think there's any crisis to do that next week. The National Lawyers Guild supports the 11 changes proposed by Copwatch, and in particular the following changes. And all of the fundamental changes here go to the principles of credibility, effectiveness, and transparency, particularly credibility. Last week, I spent a full week against two city attorneys and staff. There were two plaintiffs' counsel. We were in federal court, and we argued about a black man who was brutally beaten by police officers in 2007 in a crowd management incident. And I'm beginning to run out of time. The point was that because the process wasn't credible, this African-American felt then and felt now that he had no choice but to use his resources and city resources to take a week's of federal court time to litigate that case. In terms of the specific recommendations, the preponderance of the evidence standard is a widely accepted standard. If we're looking for a credible process to the public, we use preponderance of the evidence. That's what people understand. In terms of the Catch-22 problem, either we are going to allow the CRC to be a fact-finding body with the power to compel testimony and the power to recommend discipline, or we're going to give that to counsel. We either have to have one or the other or both, but right now we have neither. And I think it is critical in terms of the credibility piece to add another citizens member to the use of force committee. It is not credible to the public the way it is heavily weighted toward the police officers at this time, even with expanding it from one to two. I don't think the public in the city of Portland would consider that to be a credible representation of the citizens on the police review board. Adding a citizen member to the proposed expansion would at least enhance that. Finally, just two further thoughts. In the mayor's report, there are repeated references to Graham v. Connor, the United States Supreme Court decision that says we're going to consider police use of force in the totality of circumstances. That's what the Supreme Court says in terms of defining what's reasonable use of force. That is in no way a prohibition or restraint on this council setting policy for the Portland Police Bureau. It is a standard in civil rights cases. It is not a restraint on the council. And finally, I would urge the council in the next round of bargaining with the police union that we consider what are the friction points between an effective, transparent, and credible review policy and the collective bargaining agreement. I was very disappointed in the last...
You need to wrap up. I've given you 5 minutes.
I was disappointed in the last bargaining session that these issues that are currently before us now were not sufficiently addressed in that process, including...
Okay. I got to wrap you up. I can't give you more than Dan Handelman. I will never hear the end of it.
Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. It's very useful. Sir, would you like to go next?
Sure. My name is Thomas Tilton. I'm a concerned citizen, and I may not be at the right place, but I think I'm at the right time. I had the joyful bad experience of visiting the two, what I would refer to as overreactions by our city to the Occupy group. They brought back exciting memories of my experience at Kent State.
You need to make sure that your comment... No. Get closer to the mic.
Sorry.
But I need to make... you can sign up to talk about anything you want. That's at the beginning of the session, and there are 5 slots every day. To treat everyone the same, I have to keep you on the topic of what's in
that's
front of
okay.
you. I think you can make the connection. I just need you to.
No, that's okay. My thought was with the review board issue is that you need a timely response for using what are not acceptable weapons against the citizenry in a more timely fashion than a review board, because I feel that our local police were inadequately trained or inadequately given the wrong procedures by which they are supposed to use such weaponry against the citizenry. And since there wasn't, I'll be honest, there was one piece of paper out there to sign up on. I signed up on the only one there was. So my thought there is that to use a chemical weapon against a citizen should be dealt with in a more timely fashion.
Okay.
And the protocol should be dealt with in a much more expedient manner, and that my concerns are, have we not progressed in the last 40 years so that we now don't feel that we don't, well, at least you didn't shoot them, which they did when I was there, which case, that's, I guess, an improvement. My concern is that there's an inadequately training policy. I'm also concerned that the police, in some cases, were masked, so that their identities, even though there was a name on their shirt, was not visible.
So this, I need you to relate it back to...
I understand the point, and as I said, there was no other place to sign up.
Right. There is another place to sign up. And
there was?
There is. You go to the city council, and you can sign up for 3 minutes in every council session. You can talk about anything you want.
Okay. Then I will do that, and I'm sorry if I was inappropriate.
No, actually, you're not.
I didn't turn my 3 minutes over to him.
But we don't let you did a reasonable job of fashion it to the issue in front of you, and I'm sorry I have to treat everybody the
That's
same.
Okay.
And if you talk with the council clerk Carla after the hearing, she'll tell you how to sign up in
you
advance.
You just go to that door down there.
That's fine. I just
ma'am, can I help you?
Mayor Adams and commissioners, my name is Becky Strauss. I'm the new legislative director with the ACLU of Oregon. I'm here before you today in that capacity. As you know, our executive director, David Fedanke, testified on this issue in the first hearing. So I just want to take a few minutes to echo those comments and also lend my support for Portland Cop Watch, League of Women Voters, National Lawyers Guild, and the other members of the stakeholder committee that have testified today. I want to highlight two issues in particular that have come up again today. The first is the issue of the standard of review that the CRC uses in their reviews. The current reasonable person standard is confusing and we think overly deferential to IA. The ordinance needs to make it clear that CRC is independently reviewing the IA decisions and reviewing any additional evidence presented on appeal. So we do recommend Our preference is that CRC adopt a de novo standard of review, recognizing that that may not be the priority option. We would then, in the alternative, recommend that the council adopt the preponderance of the evidence standard. From just the brief research that I've been doing to get up to speed on this issue, it seems that the preponderance of evidence standard is the common standard used for citizen review committees across the nation. For example, I've seen it at Rochester, New York's committee, San Francisco's Citizen Review Committee, and several others use the preponderance of the evidence standard. And actually, in further research, what I've been able to glean is that the national debate around best practices for these citizen review committees is more about a debate between preponderance of the evidence standard versus a more stringent, clear and convincing evidence standard. So clearly that's not the debate we're having in Portland, but I just wanted to point out that most often the reasonable person standard isn't on the table. Second, I would urge the council to incorporate into the review process the section 2F of the stakeholder committee report, which is talking about the authority of the CRC to compel testimony. I would echo Dan's characterization of this odd conundrum, and I would just say that I don't think that the current structure even really makes sense. The CRC can't compel testimony, but it can hear new evidence, and then above them, the council can compel testimony, but it cannot hear new evidence. So that just doesn't seem to make the most sense or be the most effective in being an independent review body. So we have discussed that independence is an essential piece of these citizen review committee systems. As such, an independent citizen review board must be fully equipped to be that independent body and have the tools necessary, which would necessarily include the authority to compel officer testimony. So again, I'll leave the rest to just echo the comments of the others in the stakeholder committee and appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, sir.
Mr. Mayor, commissioners, thank you for your time. My name is Moses Rosen. This morning I spoke with the commissioners about some of the gold that I discovered at the occupation. And Mr. Mayor, one of those nuggets of gold that I discovered at the occupation is that Portland's police are overwhelmingly honorable, friendly, and genuinely real people. Yes, there are some bad apples with rank and a chief who will use lies to slander a democratic political movement and then use more dishonesty to justify his lies.
You got to relate it to the item in front of you.
I am, sir.
Well, get there.
I'm talking about police accountability and a police chief who issues lies.
I need you to relate it to the matter in front of us.
I will. Please just give me my minute and 30 seconds. Yes, there are some bad apples with rank and a chief who will use lies to slander a democratic political movement and use more dishonesty to justify his lie during his quote-unquote apology. But aside from that and the actions of the Portland Police Officers Association in regards to police accountability, I believe that the police force is redeemable. Last summer, Sergeant Frederick King knocked on my door and proceeded to enter my home unannounced and without warrant. His underlings did the same to my three housemates. I sat on a bucket outside and calmly read those officers the Riot Act while they ran our ID checks on all of us. They trampled over my basic and fundamental rights and left without issuing a citation or offering an apology. And the reason that I didn't file a complaint is the very same reason that I stepped down from the Community Stakeholders Committee and is the very same reason, my guess, that this room is primarily empty of the seasoned community activists who have been involved in this process. And that reason is that the Independent Police Review Board is anything but independent. We all know that the Internal Affairs, aka the police, and the Portland Police Officers Association hold all of the power and most of the cards. What you have here is the fox watching the hen house. It's ludicrous, it's a travesty of justice, and it's within your power to change. It's broken. It's your job to fix it. Please do now. The public's confidence and trust of the police and their systems of accountability are pillars of the safe, peaceful society we wish to have. Right now, we have crumbled pillars. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you all. Appreciate it.
The last three are Mary Nichols, Jeremy Graber, and Roger David Hardesty.
Hi, welcome. Glad you're here. Would you like to begin?
Thank you. My name is Mary Nichols, and I run a citizens group, GMO Free Portland, and I am an occupier. I realize this is not about budget. I'm tying this in. Ultimately, it is about budget because we as voters decide the budget of police, or at least we should. Police should hear that we have such bad faith that unless we see accountability, there will likely be no money provided indefinitely. Because of the decadent appearance of riot gear, such a disproportional use of police resources on peaceful protesters. For that reason, allowing CRC to do their job with the recommendations by Copwatch and the support of the public is ultimately for the police as well. Cutting themselves off from citizen checks on use of force is not in the best interest of police, creates a loss of faith by the public, and could ultimately cripple important, appropriate police function. The excessive use of force and intimidation of an overreactive police presence endangers all citizens, young and old, frail and strong, participants and bystanders through escalation. Also, in light of the apparent loss of autonomy by using the Department of Homeland Security to coordinate or counsel, as DHS has called it, national raids on protests, my concern is that the police may not need to take cues from the public and have no accountability locally, which is very troubling. Additionally, and these are all the reasons that I would like to see full listening to the CRC today, to embrace it. Additionally, the use of force and preparation for violence against police protests creates an us versus them sentiment with the public and confirms fears of a police state and loss of American values set forth by the Constitution. So please embrace the maximum citizen participation, including the CRC recommendations. Please withhold pay from police who are on film as abusing authority so we don't encourage bad behavior with what are perceived as paid vacations. Please do not increase the strength of chemical weapons that can damage nerves and senses. Do not use them as bug spray against people. Do not allow a baton to be used on a person on the ground. If it looks like these are committed, remove badges. My suggestion is that because police may not have any funding by the public, if corrections are not made for which CRC will guide you toward in appropriate actions, you prepare to auction some riot gear. The ridiculous, decadent, dangerous stormtrooper, Gestapo, Terminator 2 gear. So police are returned to human beings in the public's eye and rejoin our community. The inhuman appearance.
I need you to wrap up.
Okay. Let me see. I have only two cards. The inhuman appearance, influence of DHS, which is likely to turn Portland overwhelmingly against the police. I'm saying this because the Portland community has overwhelmingly denied DHS their offer to step in instead of the police in emergency. So we know that we do not want DHS involvement and this accountability.
I really do need you to wrap up. So thank you. I appreciate your testimony.
We only have 3 or 4 minutes with only 12 people. May I just finish my card?
I need you to wrap up.
Okay, this is my wrap up. The lack of accountability for which we're here to rectify by asking for real review of citizens through the CRC would actually change these problems we're facing right now, and I would just like everyone to embrace this.
Thank you for your testimony. Sir, welcome.
Mr. Mayor, question, you may have an extra 30 seconds on top of the 3 minutes. Yes.
Thank you very much, sir. First, I would just like to say that I miss getting a chance to speak with you at Jameson Square. I really did want to get a chance to at least shake your hand. I'm relatively new to your city. I'm a transplant from Philadelphia. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to actually read through all of this. It's a lot of information to digest all at once. I am an occupier. I am one of the medics and a peacekeeper and safety. I was a police liaison. It was a number of other things that really I would like to be able to tie into this. I have a couple concerns that that I've read in here, one of which is when we talk about with reasons why we're disagreeing with things, one of which was in terms of making CRC review documents public record. And under that, it says that it would violate the confidentiality of records pertaining to personnel actions. I believe that as a public official and a public officer, that would violate the idea of public scrutiny when it comes to looking at individuals and actions individuals have taken. I would like to at least just make note of that and remind you that public officials, including police officers who are public servants, are not above public scrutiny. They must be able to be held accountable for their actions. On page 10, we have item A under section 1, repair community distrust with use of use of force investigations, and says that efforts are underway. My question would be how. We have officers that are still inappropriately using the wrong level of force. There are officers who also have a history of use of force violations that are still out there. So if we're talking about repairing our public view of police officers and how we're running our investigations on public use of force, how are you going to repair that when you still have officers doing things like aiming their firearms at me as a protester when I'm not doing anything, and I was in a very small group? I caught that on film and put it in a blog, and his name tape is very visible. If you would like, I can give you a copy of that. Under Part D, ensure that IPR has the authority to compel officer testimony and directly interview officers. When it says disagree, it's an unnecessary practice and violates labor agreements. Not quite sure why labor agreements should protect officers that have forsaken their duties as a public servant. Your job as an officer is to protect and serve the public. It has nothing to do with protecting and serving the person standing next to you if they've done something wrong. You should be able to compel testimony for people that don't want to talk about something when it's going to help serve the public interest. Now, on to some of my experiences here in Portland. First of all, I serve in the Army as an infantryman. Your guys' riot gear is more gear than I ever had. That it's just, I'm just going to straight out tell you, the police officers, their riot gear, you couldn't attack them with a 50 cal machine gun. Some of the stuff that they wear is ridiculous. On the line of the budget, I see that you guys are bringing in Saber Red, which is a type of pepper spray, which I understand was already in the contract and already put forward. My question is, if you have officers that are unable to appropriately use levels of force, why would you want to give them something that is stronger that can cause more damage than they already have? I don't really see why I would want to hand them something that they can hurt people with when they don't understand how to, they don't have the proper training to deploy it in the first place. The use of force policy needs improvement. I can honestly say that I treated people at the N-17-day action for injuries received by police officers, including an 81-year-old male who was shoved to the concrete and had a hip injury. I packaged him myself and sent him to the hospital. We had Liz, who was sprayed in the face with pepper spray, who was dragged by her hair behind the line. There's no reason for that. When we're talking about police review, we need to ensure that there's no conflicts of interest. And right now, from what I've seen and heard from a lot of other people in here, there is a conflict of interest. The public standard, when we talk about reasonable uses of forces, reasonable use is defined by the public standard and the public value. It's what laws are. Laws are, in a sense, a reflection of public values. And I would like to make sure that that is upheld by this.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your testimony. Hi.
Hi. Roger David Hardesty, and I have a paragraph on that outside counsel, but it wasn't in my prepared notes. How many Portland officers have recently been arrested when beyond city limits? Isn't it odd that other jurisdictions cite such misconduct, but so little illegal activity is unearthed here in town? I submit this reporting as a symptom of the city's failure to detect how often officers wield power unjustly. Aren't you glad TriMet rules the buses? It's embarrassing to discover how many riders complain about those public servants. It is significant to this discussion to note that it is very difficult for your constituents to make managers aware of unacceptable behavior. We are here to say that not only bus drivers mistreat us, members of the Portland Police Bureau, for whom you are responsible, are abusing us as well. And we want redress. You have from these esteemed stakeholders dozens of well-thought-out action items. Heed them. Give the Citizen Review Committee the right to compel testimony. Amend 3.21.090A. Good governance relies on acknowledging reality. Thus informed, the people in whom all power is ultimately to rest will accurately and appropriately respond to lapses in Bureau performance. I was present last June when Attorney General Tom Perez announced an investigation into systemic abuses of our civil rights. Abuses fostered not only upon the people behind me, but upon people who are so far removed from power that they don't even know who is responsible for the injustice they suffer. Victims the stakeholders spoke for. Humbled before a national audience, our police commissioner and our police chief portrayed a federal investigation as a, quote, opportunity to improve services. Well, the people can help you with that. If you temper police misconduct with the rule of law imposed by civilian oversight, all observers will see a reduction in ineffective and unwanted practices. Tell the DOJ that Portlanders have the capacity to identify bad behavior within the police bureau, even if we do nothing about bus drivers. These 41 points are cogent and well-designed. Implement these changes before we must fund the next $1.6 million payout for employee misconduct. Give the community the tools we need to gain accurate knowledge. Thus informed, we will find our way toward a more just society. We stand before you today attempting to offer checks and balances to hold our police accountable for their actions. The time is ripe for this. You recently shook hands with the Joint Terrorism Task Force. With outside agencies replete with black budgets, secret courts, gag orders, and ultimately serving a government that condones secret prisons and detention without trial. Now, with the other hand, I encourage you to sign off on civilian oversight of police forces within your authority.
Thank you, Mr. Hardesty. Thank you all for your testimony. Let's see, Mary Beth, you wanted to have a few minutes to, and we wanted a few minutes with you to sort of hear what you have to say in response to some of the issues that were raised.
Sure, and if I could ask for City Attorney David Warbrow to join
me. Mr. Warbrow, would you please come forward? So I kept track of...
I was waiting for the mayor to...
I thought I was running this meeting.
I jumped the gun.
Yes, you did. So I've made a list of some of the issues raised. I think you have too, and maybe if you could, and others on council might have, maybe you could go down the notes that you made. We might ask questions today, though we're mostly listening and absorbing.
Okay, I am Mary Beth Baptista. I'm the director of the Portland City Auditor's Independent Police Review Division. I have been in this position since May of 2008. Just for folks in the room, this is our second round here that we brought to council in March of 2010, significant changes in the city code that strengthened the role of police oversight in the city. In fact, there's the role of IPR has significantly increased in investigations. And I think, and I know that we're only scheduled for an hour and we're two minutes over here, but if you could just indulge me for just one moment, because I think the problem I'm hearing with some of the testimony is that it's really not reflective of what our current system is. And I think that there might be folks who don't trust the system because they don't necessarily understand the strength of our authority and the role that we play. And I think one of the major concepts that I've heard, you know, throughout this afternoon and throughout the hearing last week was that The standard of review is over deferential to the police bureau. Internal Affairs makes the decision. IPR just has to go along with what Internal Affairs says. That is absolutely not the case. And I think it's important to note that in the March of 2010 changes that you all unanimously voted in significantly changed our role in investigations. And before the findings ever get to CRC, up to two separate bodies are fact finders. So it's not